Morning, everyone. Today's Daf in Tanis, Daf Dalet. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf Lubin Len Lezeich Nishmas Lo Supin Zaltzman. We are on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, the very bottom, last couple of lines. We are continuing from the Gemara's discussion regarding when's the appropriate time to mention rain. Again, in Eretz Yisrael, the rain went during the wintertime and did not come down during the summertime. So from Tishrei to Nisan, so it rained. And from Nisan back to Tishrei, so it didn't rain. So as we learned yesterday, so that's where we have to make sure that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide rain in the right time. The right time is from Tishrei to Nisan. Now there are two components to asking for rain. There's what's called Haskar's Kishamim, and then there is Sheila, and then there's actually a request, a petition. Haskar's Kishamim, mentioning. In other words, we in the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, we are Mashbiach, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of the praises we talk about his strength is Gevura. In the Gevura, we say Atagibor, Olam Hashem, Echayim Esim Atarav Loshia. And then, if it's the winter time, we'll say Mashiv Ruach Merdek Hashem, because in the winter time, basically, we're talking about Hakadosh Baruch Hu's strength, and that strength manifests itself by the rain that comes down. In the summertime, we don't want to mention it. So we have been discussing and continue to discuss through the course of today when's the appropriate time to start and when's the appropriate time to end. So, generally speaking, as we've been discussing now for the last couple of days, this is the third day of the Masechta. So, generally speaking, the appropriate time to begin is Sukkos. Sukkos is really the right time to start. Sukkos is the right time to start. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Sukkos we're judges on the water. So, we know that Sukkos really water is it's the beginning of the rain season. So, when exactly on Sukkos? So, that already we saw now a number, we spent the last 2 days discussing. There are a number of opinions. I think we counted 5 opinions amongst the Tanaim exactly when we should begin on Sukkos, either day 1 or day 8 or day 2 or day 6 or day 8 at Musaf. Okay, that's really quickly. That's just a quick synopsis, a quick review of the 5 opinions that we saw. In terms of the halacha, as we know, the halacha is Shmini Atzeres. So we start the Mashiv Aruch Merdek Hashem, but specifically at Musaf, not at Shachris. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that today. All right, and the first day, I quoted the Yushami in terms of why we wait till Musaf and why don't we start at Shachris and why not Mariv the night prior. Okay? And that's basically been our discussion. And we'll get to Sheila. In fact, today we're going to speak a little bit about Sheila, the actual petition, the request for rain. In the Shemona Esrei itself, the ninth bracha of Shemona Esrei, so we actually ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. So again, we're asking in the winter season, and we're going to discuss later this morning on today's daf that it's not necessarily so that the time that we're being mazkir is the same time that we're doing a she'ela, meaning that just because we're saying Mashiv Ruach Merdek Hashem does not necessarily mean that in the ninth bracha of Shemona Esrei we're going to make a formal request and petition for rain. That's something that we're going to be discussing later on this morning. What about dew? What about clouds? What about winds? So that was yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, we discussed other natural phenomena that we don't have to ask for. And the reason why we don't have to ask for, says the Gemara, is because they're ever-present. There's no break in the action for when it comes to dew or wind or clouds. Dew, wind, and clouds are just simply natural phenomena that are daily events, and therefore you don't have to mention it. And not only do you not have to mention it, but lo ma'ala v'lo morid. It's not going to help you. It's not going to hurt you if you mention it. So you want to say morid atal, that's good. You don't have to say it. It's not necessary. As we discussed yesterday, various minhagim in terms of the summer, whether you should say morid atal, whether you don't say morid atal. But as the Gemara pointed out, however, it's not essential. So in other words, if your minhag is to say it, but you leave it out, that's fine. If your minhag is not to say and you put it in, okay. In other words, obviously you should follow your minhag. But in other words, lo ma'ala v'lo morid. You can even say, the Gemara just said this just to make the point as clear as possible. You can even say, I don't want the dew, which I don't know why you would say in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, but you can even say that, and the Gemara says you don't have to go back and repeat your Shemona Esrei. Again, dew, clouds, and rains are something that are just simply ever-present. Okay, we spoke a little bit about meteorology yesterday. So the Gemara went into a discussion about various meteorological events, which, as you can probably guess, I'm really limited in terms of discussing intelligently. But the Gemara made a distinction about clouds before the rain versus clouds after the rain. Clouds before the rain are no good, are whatever. They're not whatever, clouds before the rain, that's just, you know, they're just clouds before the rain. Clouds after the rain, the Gemara says those are unbelievable, those are beneficial. The Gemara's terminology was they are shnios lemitra. They're secondary to the rain, which means basically that they're almost as good as the rain itself. Rain is wonderful, and the clouds after the rain also wonderful. And the Gemara said the same thing is true regarding wind after rain. Wind after rain, not a strong wind after rain, the Gemara says that's no good. That the Gemara yesterday quoted the tochacha, part of the rebuke that we hear in Parshas Kisavo is that if we receive a heavy wind after rain, that's no good. But the Gemara says, but a mild wind after rain, that's also beneficial. That's also really good. Okay, so the Gemara spoke about various meteorological events that are good, parv, or bad. We are in the bottom of the Amor. We're now picking it up from where we left off yesterday. We're on Gimel Amud Beis. The last two lines, Ve'amarava. We talked about snow-capped mountains yesterday. Snow-capped mountains are excellent. In fact, the Gemara says you could basically put it at five rains. One snow-capped mountain is equivalent to five rains. Okay, do I fully understand the equation? No, but that's fine. The obvious point of the Gemara is that having snow-capped mountains is excellent. So the Gemara continues on this discussion. V'amar Rava, Tagla Ture. Snow is good for the mountains. In other words, so having snow-capped mountains is wonderful. The basic idea I do understand, obviously, the snow-capped mountains, and that means that over the course of the spring, the snow is going to melt, the water is going to come down and provide water. Okay, I do get the basic idea. So, Mitra Razi Lilane, rain is great for the trees. Mitra Nichla Peire. Sorry, strong rain for the trees, mitronich lepeire, and a mild rain, a light rain, is good for the peiros. Peiros usually means fruit. Rashi over here says peiros hatvua, it's grains. Okay, in other words, different rains are going to be good for different, for various items. The fruit trees versus what they call peiros hatvua, the grains. Or pila, we're now on the top of Dalam and Aleph, afilu lepartsida, detuse kala mahanyalei. When it comes to arpila, we're about to explain, means a really thin rain. Okay, it's not a strong rain, it's not a mild rain, it's really thin. So that, you know what that's good for? It's good for the seeds in the ground, right? Literally, the Gemara translates, afila partsida de tuse kala mahanya. Tuse means underneath, kala means a cloud of earth. So the thin rain is good for the seeds that are underneath the earth. My arpila, the Gemara helps us out over here, just with a little bit of words. Oro pile. The word opila could be basically a contraction of two words. Oro, oro means to wake up. Uru, uru. And pile means the cracks in the ground. So in other words, basically wakes up the cracks in the ground. The seeds are tucked away underneath the ground. Basically, the only thing allowing for the water to come in are the cracks in the ground. So it wakes up the cracks. So that's what the thin rain is good for. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of, I don't know, it's not a gadata. It's just commentary on what kind of rains we should be mispowel for. But now the Gemara is going to take us through a little bit of, I don't know if it's a gadata, but a little more machshava. Amar Rava, Haitzurba Merabanan Dam Leparsida Detuse Kala. So the Gemara says, as long as we're talking about seeds in the ground, so Rava says, you have Tzurba Merabanan. Tzurba Merabanan, that is a term that we're going to hear again and again throughout Shas. And Rashi right here on our daf says, every time you see the word Tzurba Merabanan, you know what that means? It means young Tamid Chachamim. Right? Take a look at Rashi, four lines down. Rashi writes, Tzurba Merabanan, Bachur Charif, a young, sharp student. So it's talking about somebody who is Tamil Chacham, but specifically one who is young. Young. What if we wanted to talk about somebody who was old? So what terminology would be used in the Gemara? So Rashi says, if we were talking about somebody who was old, Tamil Chacham Zakein lo karit surba, ela hahu mirabat and karilei. So anytime you're talking about an old Tamil Chacham, so the nice way that the Gemara refers to an older Tamil Chacham is ahu. That particular Tamil Chacham. That means somebody who's old. So now we're down with the Gemara lingo. If you were talking about somebody young, we'll say Tzurba Mirabanan, as opposed to somebody old, we'll say Hahu Mirabanan. Okay? So it's good to just keep that in mind now for basically the rest of Shas. We'll see it come up again and again. So Hai Tzurba Mirabanan, Dam Le Partsida De Tuse Kala. So you know what a young Tamil Chacham is like? He's like a seed in the ground. Well, the Gemara explains the analogy. What is the analogy? So the Gemara says, "The kevan de navat. Once he starts sprouting, he starts sprouting. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains kevan de navat. Shemaskal levatzveitz v'la'alos Ola Lamala, meaning once the seed starts sprouting, so then it's just going to continuously grow and grow. Kach Tamil Chacham, Rashi writes, Kevin Shiyatza Shmo Holech Vagadol Lamala. Once the Tamil Chacham, once his name gets out there, meaning when he's young and anonymous, he basically nobody knows who he is. You know, he's young. He's been learning in Beis Medrash, but once he starts getting on the what we would call like the speaker's circle, right? The speaker circuit. So then, and his name gets out there, so people are going to start hearing him, and then it's just going to grow and grow like a seed growing out of the ground. The Let's say young Tamil Chacham gets angry. So the Gemara says, to a certain degree, I am framing the Gemara, so you could blame me for this. But if the young Tamil Chacham gets angry, it's really the Torah inside of him that's getting angry. It's not, in other words, it's not so much him, it's the Torah. Shenemar, well, I'll read Rashi in just a moment. Shenemar, halokod very ke'eshna mashem. My words are like fire, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, certainly the Torah is compared to fire. We have this a number of times. I can think Eish Das Lamo, right? The Torah is compared to fire. So now when you have somebody who ingests so much Torah, so obviously now he's got a burning fire inside of him, so it's going to heat him up and he's going to get heated. And now let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, and why is that important for us to know? So Rashi says, "Araisim Raskale." I'm reading Rashi. Sheyesh lo rochav lev mitoch taraso omesim libo yost mishar bnei adam. Okay, he's got more inside of him, more heat inside of him. V'kamash malan dechayavin ladono lekavschus, and therefore we, in other words, when we see a Tamil Chacham and we see he gets angry, so we got to extend them the benefit of the doubt. Meaning, of course, it's not right to get angry. The Gemara is about to say that in just a moment. Obviously, anger is something which we should avoid at most, if not every expense. But the Gemara says, but if you see Tamil Chacham getting angry, so at least let's extend him the benefit of the doubt. He learned a lot of Torah. The Torah is the fire. And Savrashi says that's what the Gemara is coming to teach us. The Gemara says, the Amar... Ravashi, kol Tamil Chacham she'en. Sorry, I'm Ravashi. Kol Tamil Chacham she'en ukasha kabarzel eno Tamil Chacham. You have a Tamil Chacham who is not hard like barzel, not hard like iron. So he's not a Tamil Chacham. Shenamur chapatish yifotzei sela. Right, we saw this pasuk being quoted recently, like a hammer who is able to grind up a stone. So in other words, Tamil Chacham has got to be hard. He's got to be convicted. He's got to have conviction. Amalei Rabbi Abba Rav Ashi Asa Mehasam Asni Salah Mehacham Asni Salah. Look, you got it from over there. We get it from a different pasuk. Dichsiv Eretz Asher Avaneha Barzel. So this is a land where Avaneha Barzel. Avaneha usually refers to the stones. Stones are really hard in Eretz Yisrael. Al Tikra Avaneha Ella Boneha. Don't refer to it as Avana, but rather Boneha, its builders. So its builders, meaning, as Rashi points out, builders is reference to Talmid Chachamim. They are referred to as the Boneha, the builders. So they should be hard as stone. So therefore, how have we so far characterized Talmid Chachamim? So basically, hard as stone and as copper and also fiery and maybe even a little hot-headed. Okay, so far that's the characterization of Talmid Chachamim. Now brings us to the next point of the Gemara. Amar Ravina afilu hachi mi baile le'inish le'melef nashei b'nei chusei. So Ravina says, okay, now that we know all this, now we know the basic nature of a Talmid Chacham, that he's fiery and he's got Torah inside of him and it's hot and he should be firm in his conviction. At the same time, train himself to be gentle. Shenamar v'aser kas milibecha. The Pasuk Kalkola says that you remove anger from your heart, meaning that when we are supposed to train ourselves to remove the anger from our heart and take it away from us. And so therefore, yes, it's true. There is reason to conclude that a Tamil Chacham is going to be angry, but at the same time, the Tamil Chacham must make every effort to train himself not to be angry. I mentioned this before, but it always is worth repeating. The Rambam says that when it comes to midos, so we should be in the middle. We shouldn't be too stingy. We shouldn't be too generous. In other words, when it comes to every midah, we should be balanced. We should be in the middle. That's the Rambam's basic rules of life. However, the Rambam says there are two midos out there in the world where you should not be in the center, but you should be all the way to the extreme. We should be extremist on two issues. What are the two issues that we should be extremist on? So the Rambam says number one is gaiva, number one is arrogance. So the Rambam says that it shouldn't be that we should be a little bit arrogant, not overly arrogant. The Rambam says no. When it comes to gaiva, when it comes to arrogance, there should be no arrogance, zero. The Rambam says, and what's the other thing we should be extreme about? And that's anger. Rambam says the anger, kas, and gaiva are the two things that we should be extreme about. Meaning not a little bit of anger, Rambam says, but rather no anger, zero anger. To the best of our ability. But the Rambam says those are the two midos in life where we should not be in the middle, but rather should be to one extreme. And the Gemara over here certainly points in that direction as well. Back to the Gemara, we're about a third of the way down on the Amud, we're on Dal Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Shosha Shalu Shaloka Hogan. Three people, when petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, petition him, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inappropriately. You'll see what we mean in just a moment. Now, of those three who asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu inappropriately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded appropriately to two of the three. Two, yes, but one, no. The Elohim. So the examples will explain everything, and when we see the examples inside, you'll understand exactly what the Gemara means. First of all, who are the three people? Eliezer, Eved Avram. So number one is Eliezer. Number two, Shaul ben Kish. And number three, Yiftach HaGiladi. Okay, so three people in Tanakh where they asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu inappropriately, for reasons which we're about to explain. And for two of the three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, even though it was not an appropriate request, but I'll respond appropriately. And for one of the three, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no good. So, Eliezer, Eved Avram, Dichsiv. So we're going to go now one by one. So first we start with Eliezer. Vayana Rashi Omer Alehatina Kadech. Remember, in Chayei Sarah. So after the death of Sarah, so Avram realizes, okay, we got to move on to the next generation. Let's turn our attention to Yitzchak. Yitzchak needs to get married. We need to find him a wife. So he calls his entrusted servant and he says, okay, Eliezer, you have a job. It's a very simple one. You're going to go find a wife for Yitzchak. So Eliezer goes and he sits by a well and he says, okay, here's how it's going to work. The next girl who comes and offers me and my camels water to drink, so she'll be the wife of Yitzchak. Okay? Now, that's great, but how does he know who the next girl is going to be? Wouldn't he first like to know who it is? And Yachol Afilu Chigeres Afilu Suma. And it could have been that the girl who was going to come was going to be lame, or she was going to be blind. Meaning, this test that Eliezer performed does certainly test the character trait of the girl, but it's also arbitrary. It could have been really anybody, and somebody who Yitzhak may not have wanted. So Heshivu Kahogim and Nizdam Lo Rivka. And yet, even though Eliezer's request was inappropriate, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded appropriately, and you see that because the girl who came was Rivka. Okay, so. But still, though, in other words, the test, the Gemara says, the test was inappropriate because Eliezer did not know who the next girl was going to be, and it could have been anybody. Shaul ben Kish dichsiv. And we see a similar idea by Shaul. Shaul, the first king of the Jewish people, found the beginning of, say, for Shmuel Aleph. So dichsiv, aya isha sheikanu yashrenu hamelech osha gadol, v'ez bito yitein lo. Okay, let's throw ourselves into the context of the Navi. So we know in Perek Yud Zayin, so we're meeting up with the Plishtim again, and so this big giant comes out of the Plishtim and he says, look, here's how it'll work. Rather than the two armies going to battle, I'll fight against your best guy, and whoever wins is gonna win the battle. Okay, the big giant, I'm sure everyone guessed already at this point, was Goliath. And in terms of who from Israel is gonna step forward, nobody wanted to step forward. Goliath was this massive a man. The Navi describes him as being 6 amas tall. Okay, somewhere in the ballpark of 12 feet, just approximation. So he was a huge man, and he was massive, and nobody wanted to fight him. And Shaul made the following offer. He said, and now we see the pasuk, Aya isha sheyakenu, the man who smites him, Ya'ashrenu ha-melech osha gadol. So I'll give the man wealth, and it's bito yitein lo, and I'll give him my daughter. That was Shaul's offer. So I feel mamzer. Now again, based on that offer, so it is indiscriminate. Meaning, let's say the one who kills Galias is a slave. Let's say the one who kills him is a mamzer. So somebody who, again, this is not a question of judging the individual. This is just an issue of not somebody that's appropriate to marry the daughter of a king. Not an eved, not a mamzer. So, heshivu kehogim in Islam lo David. Okay, and even though Shaul's request was inappropriate, because again, there was no discrimination in terms of who he was going to give his daughter to, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously responded in kind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so that it would be David, and so that Michal Baal Shaul ended up marrying David, and it wasn't anyone else. Yeah. Number three, Yiftach HaGiladi, Dichsiv. Well, now we're in Shoftim, the story of Yiftach. I'm sure we all have familiarity. And so Yiftach comes out from battle, victorious in battle, and he was so thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'm going to offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a karban. So Yachal, that was his...
Before he goes.
This was before? Okay. Right.
If he wants.
So Yachal afilu davar tamei, and again, what's going to come out of his house? There was no discrimination. And meaning, and right now, it's not even, the Gemara is not even entertaining the idea that it was a human that was going to come out of his house. But look, karbanos can only come from kosher animals, not from non-kosher animals. So Yachal afilu davar tamei, it could have been a non-kosher animal that comes out of his house. And what, he's going to offer that as a karban? Obviously not. He's just going to be put in a bad place, only because he made an offer with no discrimination. So nizdam lo bito, and what comes out of his house is his daughter. V'hanu dekamalu hu navi liYisrael, and the navi says to the Jewish people, hatsari ein kigalad imrofe ein sham. The Rashi points out, what's the Gemara here? The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu Perches, and what's the basic idea over here? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Rashi v'hainu d'amaluhu navi, midigali be'krav v'amarat tzari ein begalad, amad alo have nicha kame shemaya, ke d'amrina tzari ein begalad. This was not pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not happy with the offer that Yiftach made, in that he said, the first thing that comes out of my house I'm going to offer. And Pinchas ha'yisham v'yochala hatur nidro. And Rashi also fills this in on another detail, another important detail. Basically, what did Yiftach do? He made a neder. He made a vow, and he committed himself. Now we know, we've seen enough of this, and there's an entire Masechta dedicated to this topic, and that is, you make a neder, so you're bound by the neder, but there's also a way of getting out of a neder. So you go to a chacham, well, if you're a woman and you're married to a man, so you can get out of the neder by the husband being made for the neder. Okay, but if you're a man and you made a neder, so there's a way of getting out, and the way of getting out of a neder is, not every time, but at least there's a possibility, you go to a chacham, the chacham will hear your neder, you'll explain to the chacham, I regret making the neder, and you'll give him a pesach, you'll give him an exit strategy. If I would have known, I didn't understand, I wasn't fully cognizant of the ramifications of what I was saying, and you'll explain to him, and if the Chacham feels that the Pesach is a legitimate Pesach, so then the Chacham will be releasing from the Neder. It's very easy to speculate that if Yiftach were to go to the Chacham of his day and explain to him, here's the Neder I made, I didn't think it was my daughter coming out of the house, the Navi says it was his only daughter, I didn't think it would be her, can you release me from my neder? So one can only imagine that the Chacham would release him from his neder. Certainly that sounds like a very legitimate Pesach. However, Rashi points out, and this is why the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Rashi says, Pinchas ha-yisham v'ayochol ha-atir nidro, elo shalo ratzi yiftach leilech etzlo, v'hu lo ratzi lavo etzlo yiftach, merbishis rabba. Quoting the Medrash, Rashi says, they both stood on ceremony. Meaning Yiftach was the leader of the generation, Pinchas was the Chacham of the generation. And because they were both in strong, very strong political positions, so they both stood on ceremony. Yiftach did not want to go to Pinchas. Pinchas, in turn, did not want to go to Yiftach. And because they both stood on ceremony, so therefore there was no she'ela, there was no request to be released from the petition, and therefore Yiftach was stuck with his neder. Did he... Okay, very good, very good. That's an excellent point. Did he actually offer his daughter as a karban? You look at the psukim and you look at the mafarshim. It's not clear. It's not clear in the psukim whether or not he actually offered her as a karban. It's hard to imagine. I mean, that's something which the Torah is very strong about in terms of do not offer your children as a karban. We will get to Avraham. I'll get to Avraham in just a moment. And Akedas Yitzchak, that's coming up in the Gemara. I mean,
isn't it similar to a nether that if you make a nether to do something that's against halakha, it's not a valid nether?
It is right. It's right. That's Shvuah Mashakasa B'Torah. Yeah, so it works out. That's why it works out much better if he didn't actually offer the carbon. But as a number of Mefarshim explain, he just basically he put her away in some sort of. And he isolated her for the rest of her life. Okay, not the ending of that story is unclear. Okay, there's an ambiguity over there. But in the meantime, however, just for our purposes, just in other words, again, now we're putting Yiftach in the same context as Eliezer and Shaul. And meanwhile, and the Gemara doesn't explain. And this obviously needs more. This needs more clarification. I don't have it, but for Eliezer and Shaul, so an appropriate response. Meaning, even though their request was inappropriate, because there was no discrimination on their part in terms of the offer they made, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Rivka and gave them David HaMelech. But when it comes to Yiftach, he was indiscriminate in the offer that he made, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided the worst case scenario for him, and that was his daughter came out of the house, not even an animal, his daughter came out. So, and why Yiftach was not answered with the same generosity that Eliezer and Shaul was answered with, unclear. The Gemara does not make that point clear. As long as we're on the topic of offering up your children as sacrifices, the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Uksiv, we're now in the Gemara, we're in Dalet Amud Aleph, we are more than halfway down. Asher lo tzivisa v'lo dibarta v'lo alta libi. I never commanded this. I never said anything. Lo alta libi, never went up in my head. Take a look at... I'm sorry, let me just first read the Gemara. Asher lo tzivisa zebeno shomesha, melech moav. So as far as Asher lo tzivisa, the Gemara says, what does that mean? So that's a reference to Mesha melech moav. So we find it in Malachim Beis where the king of Moab takes his son and offers him up as a carbon. Lo dibarti ze Yiftach. And lo dibarti, that's a reference to Yiftach, meaning I never told Yiftach to offer his daughter. V'lo alta libi ze Yitzchak ben Avraham. And as far as lo alta libi, I never considered it for a moment, that's a reference to Yitzchak ben Avraham. So if you take a look at the Pesukim Yirmiyahu in context, so I did a little bit of research. Meaning, I read Tanakh, right? Heavy duty research. So, if you take a look, so Yirmiyahu was chastising the Jewish people. So, Yana Shira Zavuni, this is Perek Yutes in Yirmiyahu. Yana Shira Zavuni, Vyanachru Samakam Azev, Vyakturu Bole Elohim Acherim, you offer to other gods, Asherla Yidam Hema, Vavasem Amach Yehuda, Umalo Samakam Azev, Damnikim, and you spilled innocent blood. Ubanu was bamos abal lisrofes b'neim be'esh, and you built altars to sacrifice your sons. Olos labal shalos tivesi, and I never commanded you to do this. V'lo dibarti, I never said it. V'lo alta libi, and I never even thought it. So the Navi, quoting Kadosh Baruch Hu, says that this kind of behavior of sacrificing your children is something I never entertained, I never considered. So it's interesting. The obvious question, which we can ask, and Rashi himself asks, and that is. So, Avram, meaning what did the Gemara just say regarding Avram Avinu and Yitzchak? Lo alta libi, I never even considered it. What does that mean, he never considered it? He says to Avram, I'd like you to take Yitzchak and I'd like you to take him out to Hamaria and I'd like you to offer him as a carbon.
He didn't consider it because the whole plan was never.
Right, so Rashi writes, Danny, that's exactly what Rashi writes. So there was never... And the actual shechting of Yitzchak was never up for consideration. It's a long Rashi. Just want to get to the Velo altali bi, yeah, there we go. Perfect, thank you. Hachi garsinan. Right, velo altali bi ze yitzhak ben Avram klamer she'afa pishitzi veitzilo me'olam lo alta ali bi lishchot beno. So Rashi says that there was never up for consideration for that, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to shecht, that's not, that was never the plan, that was never the game plan. Ela linasoso mipnei kategora hainu satan. And the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing over here was just demonstrating. This was demonstrative, just to show, hey, this is what Avram's ready to do. But kedamar b'san hejim ha-nechnakim v'yachad v'ma'ela achad v'av shal satan. Okay, and you look at Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash brings down basically the Gemara Sanhedrin, where it was the Satan goes over to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Would Avram do that for you? Kadosh Baruch Hu says absolutely. And just to prove that Avram would go to what extent Avram would go to, so he instructs him to do so. But rak lenasos, just for the purposes of demonstration. The word nes means a banner, means a flag. Just wanted to show what Avram would do, but never did enter in Kadosh Baruch Hu's mind that Avram was going to Shech Yitzchak. Okay, back to the Gemara. Inappropriate request has been the topic of discussion over basically most of today's Amud, and the Gemara is going to continue on this theme of inappropriate requests. Amar Rav Berachi Afkanes Yisrael Sheila Shaloka Hogan. The Jewish people ask Kadosh Baruch Hu inappropriate requests. Kadosh Baruch Hu Yeshiva Kahogan. And meanwhile, Kadosh Baruch Hu responded in, not in kind, but kindly. Shenemar v'neida near the faladas of Hashem kishachar nachon mosi v'yavo kigeshem lanu. We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you could please be like for us rain. So I'm the Kadosh Baruch Hu b'ti atcho ala davish pamim mitbakesh pamim menu mitbakesh. You're asking me to be like rain. Rain is not a constant. Sometimes rain is there. Sometimes rain is not there. Meaning you want to compare our relationship and you want to compare me to rain. Bad comparison. But you know what? I'm going to respond, in other words, and I will be there for you, but not in the form of rain, but rather in the form of dew. The Navi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be like dew, right? As we discussed in yesterday's daf, dew is ever present. Dew is always there. Dew is irrespective to a season. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, even though you asked me to be like rain, but that's a bad analogy, I'm rather going to be like dew, I will always be there. We asked again, as a relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, if there could be a sign for the relationship. Put me a sign on your heart, put me a sign on your arm. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, that's not the best sign in terms of demonstrating our relationship. Because you put it on your heart, you put it on your arm, sometimes it's seen, sometimes it's not seen. Okay, areas on the body that are covered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tell you what, I'll put out a sign demonstrating our relationship, but I'll put it on the palm of our hand. Palm of our hand. So that's something that can be seen at all times. The palm is not covered. Your hand is not covered. There's no requirement to cover the hand. So the Gemara says that's Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though our request was inappropriate, but Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to us in a kinder fashion. Ad kan divrei Agadah. So that is the end of the Agadic section of today's daf. And we got into a discussion of rain. Rain turned into wind and clouds and dew. And inappropriate request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu never intended that Avram shecht his son Yitzchak. Back to the discussion of inappropriate requests, and finally we come back to rain, and now full circle, and we are done with the Agadata for today. And now back to the halachic portion of today's daf, and that is the She'ela. You look back at the Mishnah, and let's all do this together. Let's go back to the Mishnah, and let's review the second point of the Mishnah. The first point of the Mishnah was, at what point do we start saying Mashiv Ruach HaMoed HaGashem? The Mishnah brought down a machlokes between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, first day, last day of Sukkos, and a little dialogue between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of who's right. Rabbi Yeshua's defense of his position is, we don't want to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain on Sukkos, we want to be in the Sukkah, and we don't want it to rain in Sukkah, to which Rabbi Eliezer said, okay, but we're not asking for rain, it's just, it's haskaras gevuros geshamim. It's a mentioning of God's strength. Okay, the back and forth. And then the Mishnah, after that discussion, but really all that is just basically one issue. When is the appropriate time to start? Then the Mishnah makes a statement. The Mishnah statement is, Ein sho'alim etz ha'geshamim, ela samach l'geshamim. You don't ask for rain unless it's close to rain time. Certainly a very ambiguous statement of the Mishnah, not clear what it's talking about, and that's where we are now in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try to explain to us this line of the Mishnah. Savruha. Right, you're going through enough Gemara, you know what's going to happen now. Whenever the Gemara says the word Savruha, it means we're telegraphing the punch of the Gemara, meaning we think, when reading that line of the Mishnah, here's what we thought the line of the Mishnah means, and as you know, we're going to correct our thinking. But here's what our thinking initially was. Sheila v'haskara chanam el sehi. That when the Mishnah talked about Sheila and Haskara are really the same thing. Meaning that the Mishnah did not change its topic of discussion. The first topic of discussion was Haskara, the Mashiv Aruch Merdek Hashem that's inserted in the second bracha Shmoneh Esrei, and we think we're on course. Same topic of discussion. And therefore, based on that thinking, Montana. Now we're able to ask a very legitimate question. Who's the author of that statement in the Mishnah? Am Rav Rav Yoshua Yidam HaMishas HaNachtau. So Rav says, okay, so the author of that statement is Rav Yoshua. Because remember, what does Rav Yoshua say? As we move closer to the rain season, we should now mention rain, meaning Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem. Well, Sukkos maybe will be judged on the rain, but the rain really doesn't actually start coming down until the month of Cheshvan. So, the time that we are more proximate to the rain is going to be the end of Sukkos. So, Amalei Abaye Filotem Rabbi Eliezer. Abaye says, no, not necessarily. It could be that the author of that statement of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer. And Sheila Lachud Vaskar Lachud. And what our original thought was is that the Haskar and Sheila of our Mishnah are one and the same thing. The correction of thinking is, no, they're not. The Sheila over here is not a reference to Haskara, but it's a reference to Sheila. Meaning this is talking about when we actually petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain to come down. Meaning this is the ninth bracha Shmoneh Esrei, where we actually make a formal request. It's now, we would love it if it could please start raining now. So the Iga de Amri. Now basically what we're going to do is, again, the same basic discussion, a different format, but the same basic discussion. Leimer Rabbi Yoshua Yidam HaMishas HaNachtau. Let's suggest that the author of that line in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua. So Am Rava Filotem Rabbi Eliezer Shelachud Vaskar Lachud. And Rava says, no, it could also be Rabbi Eliezer. We're not talking about the Hazkara, the Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem, but we're talking about the ninth Bracha Shmoneh Esrei, where we're making a formal request for the rain to come down. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer over Lifnei HaTeva. Okay. And then we're moving on to the Mishnah. We're almost done with the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says, "Ha'over lifnei ha'teva." The Shlech Sibur, he gets up and davens for the Yom HaShmini Atzeres. So the Rishon, meaning the Baal Shachris, he doesn't say Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem, but the Baal Musaf, he does say Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem. That was the opinion of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah. Urim Minhu. The Gemara says, based on tomorrow's daf, I am legitimately confused. What are we saying tomorrow's daf? Until what point in time do we request a Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain? Rav Yehuda Amar Ashi Avor Pesach. Rav Yehuda says until Pesach is over. Rabbi Meir Omer Ashi Avor Nisan, and Rabbi Meir says until Nisan is over. So it is a little bit troubling because Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah says, when do we start with the She'ela? So we start with the She'ela on Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. When do we finish with the She'ela? So sometime, let's stay with Rabbi Yehuda. So Ashi Avor Pesach until Pesach comes and goes. Okay? Why is that so problematic? Because at this point in time, we're thinking that the Haskara and the She'ela should basically go hand in hand. Meaning, as long as we're saying Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem and Bracha 2 Ashmoneh Esrei, we should be petitioning in Bracha number 9. Once we're no longer saying Mashiv Aruch HaMerdek Hashem, we should therefore no longer be saying She'ela in Bracha number 9. And right now, the Gemara is bothered because Rav Yehuda at the end of the season are not in alignment with one another. So the Gemara says, Lokasha kan l'sho kan l'haskir. So,
at the beginning, they're not either, because we don't say both at the beginning.
Okay, Gemara is going. Your point is excellent. The Gemara is going to come back to your point in just a moment. But meanwhile, the Gemara first tries to make a split again between She'ela and Haskara. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Well, Mashiv Aruch Mardageshim will stop on day one of Pesach, but the request of the Saint Talamatal of Racha, maybe that'll go to the end of Pesach. That's right now what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara says, no. Misha Shalva Azal Azkir. I'm sorry. Ashi Avor Pesach, Rabbi Mir Ashi Avor Nisan, Amr of Chista Lokasha, Kan Lashol, Kan Laskir. Misha Shalva Azil Lahaskir, Beyom Tavarishon, Pasek. So, fine. So, in other words, the Shela continues, but the Haskar is going to stop on the first day of Pesach. So, Amr Ula Hadra of Chista Kasha, Kechomets Lishinayim, Ukashan La'enayim. This answer of Rav Chista, it's like vinegar for the teeth. It's like smoke in the eyes. In other words, I have difficulty with this answer. Uma b'makom she'eino shol maskir, b'makom she'shol eino din she'eh maskir. Look, let's go to the starting point of the season, of the rain season. When do we start Mashiv Aruch Mardageshem on Shemini Atzeres? Okay, we're not being shoal. We're not petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu formally for rain. We're just simply mentioning. It's a Haskara. So in other words, the Haskara is kind of, if you will, it's like the background to making the request. Right? So if we're being maskir and then asking for She'ela, one can only imagine that when you get to the end of the season, if anything, they're going to conclude at the same time, but certainly not what Rav Chista is suggesting, that Mashiv Aruch Mardageshem will stop on day one of Pesach, but the She'ela will continue afterwards. That's very difficult to imagine. Ela Amar Ula, Trei Tanai, Eliba D'Rav Yehuda. Ula doesn't have a fancier answer, but maybe a more correct answer. Machlokas Tanaim. And even though both are expressing their positions within the Rav Yehuda, but Trei Tanai, Eliba D'Rav Yehuda. Okay, there's some small breakdown in the Masara, and each one of them is espousing what Rav Yehuda is saying, and yet the two positions of Rav Yehuda do not agree with one another, at least as recorded by the students. Okay, so not an elegant answer, but an answer in terms of how to resolve the discrepancy between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef Amar Mai Aji Avor Pesach Aji Avor Shlich Tzibur Rishon Hayored B'Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. Another possible answer. Maybe, again, we're trying to resolve Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that in terms of Mashiv Aruch Mardageshem, the Haskara, it goes from Shemini Atzeres to the first day of Pesach. The problem is that in tomorrow's daf, we're going to see together that the She'ela of Rav Yehuda goes until Ashi Avora Pesach, which means until Pesach is over. How does that work? So again, answer number two of the Gemara, or at least a second attempted answer, is that Ashi Avor means not until Pesach goes away, but until the first Shlich Sibur of Pesach goes away. Meaning when the Baal Shachris is finished, that's when we're going to stop with a She'ela. So Amalei Abai She'ela B'yamta Mi'ika. Now Ben, the Gemara is going to ask your question. What are you suggesting? That we're stopping the She'ela on the first day of Yantav. First day of Yantav, there's no She'ela. Right, we take out the middle brachas of Shemona Esrei. We replace it with Kedushas Hayom. What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, Amalei in Shol Meturgaman. So the Gemara, in a last-ditch effort, tries to resurrect the answer, and the Gemara says, well, maybe the Meturgaman is going to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. Meturgaman, who is the Meturgaman? What's he doing? So generally speaking, when we say Meturgaman, we're talking about the one who translates the Torah. Right, the Meturgaman is when they read the Torah. So there's a Meturgaman. There's one who translates the Torah. Okay, Yemenite shuls they do it, but not practiced nowadays in shul. But Rashi over here writes that Meturgaman is bedrashashu doresh omer bracha she'ela levada. So Meturgaman over here in this context means a darshan, right? The rabbi's sermon. So in the rabbi's sermon on Pesach, so what the rabbi's going to do is he'll make a petition for rain. Maybe that's what it means. So v'chi meturgaman shol davar she'eino tzarich letzibur. Gemara says that, yeah, but again, that's really difficult to understand. Meaning it's Pesach. We don't want rain. And now the meturgaman is going to ask for rain. So elam echvar tekedu ula. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to Ula's answer. Meaning, again, trei tanai aliba d'Rav Yehuda. We don't have an elegant response. We'll just simply say two opinions in terms of what Rav Yehuda says. Rabba amar mai ashi avor Pesach, ashi avor zman shchitas haPesach. A third attempted answer in terms of trying to resolve Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Maybe Rav Yehuda, when he says Ashi Avor Pesach, is not referring to the Yontav of Pesach, but rather talking about the Karban Pesach. We know, when is the Karban Pesach offered? 14th day of Nisan. This may work out a little bit better. Utchilaso kain sofo. Matchilaso maskir afapi she'enu shoel. Af sofo maskir afapi she'enu shoel. And now, it actually is a little bit more balanced. Because think about it. Remember, there's Haskara and there's She'elah. When we start, how do we start? With Haskara by itself, meaning on Shmini Atzeres, we just say, Masha Baruch Amar Degashem, and Hashem Ha'esrei, and the She'elah occurs after. When exactly afterwards? That we'll talk about tomorrow. And then at the end of the season, we'll stop with the She'elah first, meaning according to this third answer, we'll stop with the She'elah on the 14th day of Nisan, and then on the 15th day, we'll also stop with Masha Baruch Amar Degashem. Okay? So it's a little more balanced, it's a little more symmetrical. Amalei Abaye Bishlam Etchilaso Masker Askara Nami Ritzui She'elahi Elasofa My Ritzui She'elahika. Rava says I don't like this approach because look, Mashi Varuch Amar Degashem. What is that? It's mentioning God's strength. It's a backdrop to a request, meaning we're about to ask for rain. Let's not just simply go right in for the request. Let's first set ourselves up with however many days. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. But in other words, basically, we'll start off with Masha Baruch Amar Degashem. And that sets up the backdrop to us asking Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain. And then, at a later point in time, we'll start saying, V'sein Talamat Levracha, in the ninth Bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So Haskara first, then She'elah. That's at the beginning. But now you get to the end of the season. Now, what do you need? Meaning, you're going to, well, let's stop with the She'elah, and then let's stop with the Haskara. Why would we do that? Meaning, the whole purpose of Haskara is to create a backdrop for She'elah. And now, if we're going to finish with the She'elah, shouldn't we also finish with the Haskara as well? So, Ella, Machvarta Kedu'ula. So the Gemara says, okay, so once again, we're going to, these are great attempted answers, but the Gemara does not feel that any of these answers really satisfy the discrepancy between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda, and therefore the Gemara comes back to Ula, Trei Tanai, Aliba de Rav Yehuda. Just finished up today with a little bit of conclusion. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rav Yehuda. Okay, so the halacha, in fact, follows like Rav Yehuda. Again, the Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah says that when do we start Masha Baruch Amar Degashem? So we start it with, it starts on the Musaf of Shemini Atzeres. So Amalei Rav Zera LaRav Asi, Omi Amar Rav Yochanan, Hachi V'atanam B'shosh B'mar Cheshon Shalom Nesog Shamim. So Ramin Amalei Amar B'sheva. So in terms of the She'ela, so we have a Machlokas. Rabbi, the Rabbi Gamliel says, sorry, the Tanna Kamma says that we start on the third day of Cheshvan. Rabbi Gamliel says that we start on the seventh day of Cheshvan. V'amar Rav Elazar, halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. And Rav Elazar says, halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. So in other words, now we have a discrepancy because on one hand, Rav Yochanan just passed on like Rav Yehuda, that the Masha Baruch Amar Degashem starts on the Musaf of Shemini Atzeres, and and in terms of the She'ela also begins after Shemini Atzeres, and meanwhile the halacha goes like Rabbi Gamliel that the Rav Elazar says the halacha follows like Rabbi Gamliel that the She'ela should begin on the seventh day of Cheshvan. So the Gemara says Amalei Gavra Karamis Ibaisem Lokasha Kan Lasho Kan Laskir. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I don't know if it's such a what are we talking about? We're talking about two different topics. When it comes to Haskara, the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. In that, Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. When it comes to She'ela, halacha falls like Rav Gamliel, seventh day of Cheshvan. V'hamar Rav Yochanan ben Malkam Shesho Maskir. So that's all good, but again, this entire discussion revolves around Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, you know when you start asking? When at the point of Haskara. So the Gemara says, no, ha'ulaf saka itmar. The Gemara says, no, that wasn't at the beginning of the season, of the rain season. That was talking about the end of the rain season. So in other words, they both end at the same time. V'ham Rav Yochanan hischol haskel maskel l'shol, pasuk melishol, pasuk melahaskir. Gemara says, again, that's a nice answer, but that's not true. Rav Yochanan says, both at the front end and at the back end, they start and end simultaneously. The haskar and the she'ela come at the same time and end at the same time. Elokashya halan Vahalahu. So the Gemara says, okay, different start times, end times, based on whether you are in Eretz Yisrael versus whether you're in Bavel. What's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel? Maishna lididan disle peira bedabra. Look, for as far as we're concerned, meaning out here in Bavel, so isle peira bedabra. We still have fruit out in the field. meaning, right? Why don't we want it to rain in the summer? Right? We learned yesterday's daf. You can't ask for rain in the summer. You ask for rain in the summer, you say Mashavurach Merdegashim in the summer, you got to go back and repeat your Shemoneh Esrei. Right? Not a good Shemoneh Esrei. Why? We don't want rain in the summer. Why not? Because in the summertime, everything's grown, everything's out in the field, the rain's only going to ruin everything. So we don't want rain in the summertime. So for us, in Bavel, the food is still out in the field, even after Sukkos. So, and by the way, what's Sukkos? Sukkos is Chag HaSif. That's when we gather everything inside. But here in Bavel, for whatever reason, right, you got to know the seasons, the agriculture, for whatever reason, it's still out in the field. That's why we postpone the Haskara, the She'ela, until a later date. But Lididu Nami Suhu, all the regalim. So I'm sorry, before I read the next line of Gemara. And what the Gemara is thinking is that in Eretz Yisrael, not a problem. Because everything is collected. So everything is collected by Sukkos, so that's why they could start Mashiv Aruch and She'ela on Shmini Atzeres. Again, more technically, Mashiv Aruch on Shmini Atzeres, and She'ela would be, right, the Marv of Motzei Yontif. So, Ki Kamar Rav Yochanan Mizman Shein Beis HaMikdash. Now let's read the next line of Gemara. Lididu Nami Yisrael L'Regalim. I understand, in Eretz Yisrael, you have an additional problem. Another reason why we'd want to delay the petition of rain, and that is, remember, Sukkos, what's happening? Everyone's going to Yerushalayim. Sukkos is over. Everyone's walking home. Last thing people want to do is be caught in a downpour. And we don't want to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain, and at the same time, these people are walking home from Yerushalayim are going to get caught in the rain. We in Eretz Yisrael also want to delay the request for rain. So the Gemara's final answer is Ki Kamar Rav Yochanan Mizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Okay, you know what? Rav Yochanan, it says we start asking for rain when the base of, there's no longer Beis HaMikdash, no longer Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, and because of such, that's why we will ask for rain immediately after Sukkos. Ha Shidas Sahacha Ha. And so the Gemara says, and this is where we're ending today. And now the Gemara says, okay, now that we're entertaining the possibility that we're talking about when the Beis HaMikdash is around, when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around, so now we don't have to give an answer based on the practice of Bavel versus the practice of Eretz Yisrael. We could stay in Eretz Yisrael. We will ask for rain immediately after Sukkos when there's no longer Beis HaMikdash. Why? There's no longer a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. And all the fruit are brought into the silos, into the warehouses. And so now, immediately after Sukkos, let's ask for rain. Let's be Maskir Gevuros, let's ask for rain. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, when people made Aliyah L'Regel, when people needed to get home without rain, so we would delay, we will put on delay. The third day of Cheshvan, the seventh day of Cheshvan, whatever that may be, but we'll put on delay to allow people to come home. And now the Gemara says, and that could be another very simple resolution between the Rav Yochanan who says, Halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, that Sheila comes immediately after Sukkos, versus a statement that the Halacha falls like Rabbi Gamliel, which is that we wait till the seventh day of Cheshvan. Okay, just quick summary. Today's daf, start off, half the daf today is Agadata, and the other half of today is Halacha. In the Agadata, we spoke about Talmid HaChachamim, the nature of Talmid HaChachamim, appropriate request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, inappropriate request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and inappropriate requests by the Jewish people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Halacha, we talked about when's the appropriate time to start the She'ela, the reformal request and petition for rain in the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, stira between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan, really stira between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda, and various ways to resolve the stiras.